7, Philip starts out chapter 8, and on the way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So here's the second character in the story. It's a man, and he's come from a place called Ethiopia. Ethiopia, at that time in the ancient Near East, first century, was thought to be the literal end of the earth. So if you remember the prophecy, if you remember that what Jesus calls his people to do, he says, I want you to go and preach in Judea, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Suddenly the ends of the earth have come right in front of Philip in this moment. This man is a eunuch. That means something physical. You can go look that up on your own. But it's also a title in the place that he lived, a title that meant he was a powerful person. He served the queen of Ethiopia. He was this man of power. And he's on the road, having traveled to Jerusalem. A long way from home. And he's reading. He actually has a copy of the book of Isaiah. So remember, in ancient times, everybody didn't get their own Bible. They didn't have their own copy of something. Somehow he has acquired this text from Isaiah, and he's reading it and probably reading it out loud. That would have been a common thing to do. And so the Holy Spirit says to Philip, verse 29, go to that chariot and stay near it. So in chapter 2, we saw that the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit does all kinds of things. It came on the people. They were able to speak in languages that they didn't know. And we've watched as the Holy Spirit comes, gets people out of jail, allows them to heal, allows them to preach boldly. And now the Spirit is prompting Philip and saying to him, go there. Not big instructions, just go over there. And where is that? It's go to this stranger who's far away. Go to a stranger from another land. Go to this person who's a very high official, who's wealthy and probably very powerful. And Philip gets no other instructions. Just go over there. Here's what Philip does. Then Philip ran to the chariot. He heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you are reading? So notice what Philip does here. The Holy Spirit gives him this little nudge, like, go over to this guy. And Philip does not argue with himself. Did I really hear that right? He doesn't argue with the Holy Spirit. Are you sure? Is this really what you want me to do? I don't even know that guy, and I don't know what to do. No, Philip has no delay. He literally runs to go to be where this guy is. And when he gets there, I'm sure he thinks, now what do I do? And so he asks the most obvious question he can think of. Do you understand what you're reading? Not because I don't think you're intelligent, but do you understand this isn't a language that maybe isn't familiar with you? This is maybe a background that you don't have. What do you understand this? And the man answers this, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So here's this man who's very powerful, probably very wealthy. If he got a copy of Isaiah, he had some means to do that, but he has this posture of humility. And he's willing to accept help from a stranger. He says, how could I understand this? I don't have this upbringing. I don't have this background. And so could you please help me? And then verse 32 says, this is the passage of scripture the man was reading. And Karen read part of that from Isaiah 53. And then he asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Isaiah 53 is this beautiful prophecy about the coming Messiah. And this is what he's been reading. And Philip knows the answer to the question. Who's this about? Philip kind of actually specializes in prophecy. When he first meets Jesus and Jesus invites him to follow, then as other people come along, one day Philip grabs a friend named Nathaniel and he says this, we have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is where Philip is already on. I know what this means. I can tell you who it is. So he uses his knowledge. He uses the gifts that God has given him as he's been nudged to go stand in this place with this man. Philip is having this remarkable encounter. Oh my goodness, this is not how I saw this day unfolding. Didn't know I'd meet a stranger today from the ends of the earth and be able to tell them about Jesus. Verse 30, I don't know what number that is, 6 maybe. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the man said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And the man, and there's this part about the other manuscripts, you can check that out. And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then Philip and the man went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. Philip has continued on the way. First, God said, just go stand by him. Now he's climbed into a vehicle with a stranger and got along with him. But I don't think he knew what was going to come. But the Holy Spirit said, stay near. And Philip's like, I'm not moving until you tell me it's time to go. So they come to this water. The man asks if he can be baptized. And Philip knows there should be no barriers to this happening. There are no other requirements. There's not a waiting period before you get baptized. On the spot, in the moment, he confesses his faith in Jesus and takes that big step. It's a remarkable encounter that happened to Philip, and remarkable encounters are happening all of the time. God is putting us face to face with people for God's purposes, and there are two things that Philip does that I think we should take note of. One, he follows the lead of the Holy Spirit, and two, he comes right alongside another person. Philip follows the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I think that on any given day, maybe every single day of our lives, the Holy Spirit is prompting us. It's putting us in places, leading us and pointing us in the direction of other people. And maybe sometimes it's really clear. Maybe like Philip, there have been moments in your life, or there will be moments in your life, where you clearly hear God say, go over there. There's the person. Go there. Be with that person. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's really obvious. If we notice, you run into someone and you think, what are you doing here? And I'm here too. How is it possible we're both here at the same time? That's not a coincidence or small world. That's God putting us in place to wonder, what is this encounter going to bring about? And mostly, it's pretty subtle. The Holy Spirit gives us these little nudges. Suddenly someone pops into your mind. Out of the blue, you think of someone. You hear a story. You see a picture. You're scrolling through things on your phone. You hear a story and somebody, don't put my picture up. Phew. Sorry, Rick, that wasn't nice. Just hold it. Suddenly somebody pops into your mind, and all of a sudden you hear their name and this person is on your mind and the Holy Spirit is giving you this prompt. Do something about it. It's an invitation to follow, to call them, to text them, to show up on their doorstep, to send a little note or a gift, to check in on that person. It happens over and over and over again. And we need to follow Philip's example to listen to the Holy Spirit, but also to run when you get that chance. Because here's what often happens to me. Someone comes to mind and I think, oh, I should call them or text them. And then I think, I'll do it later. And you know what? Later never comes. In those moments, we can run like Philip and say, okay, Lord, I don't really know what you want me to do, but I'll do the best that I can. Send a little note, give a little call, go stand by or sit by or whatever, and see what kind of remarkable encounter God has for us. Philip listens to the Holy Spirit, and then he comes right alongside this man. He just walks right up to the chariot, and he stands there, and he places himself, and he does just what he knows how to do. He just asks a really good question. And maybe that's God's work in our life, too. Hey, I put this person on your heart. Ask him a good question. How are you doing? Is there anything that I can do that would help this? Actually, don't ask yes or no questions. We ask those kind of leading questions. How are you feeling about this thing that has happened? What kind of things do you need that would help you get through this day or this time? Tell me more about the trip that you took or the diagnosis that you got or this relationship that you have. Philip just uses what God's given him. He asks a question, and then he responds with what he knows, and he points to Jesus. Well, let me tell you about a time in my life when I experienced that, and here's what God did. Let me pray for you. Let me remind you that you are not alone. Use the things that God's given you, your stories, your experiences, to listen well and to offer and to point to Jesus. I'll pray for you, maybe in this moment or maybe as we part. Remarkable encounters are happening all the time. Suddenly you're there with this person, and maybe it's for you to offer comfort or hope or help or a listening ear or to point the way. That is what we see happening to Philip here. And we don't even really have the perspective of this man from Ethiopia, but he also had a remarkable encounter. When he needed to know the way, suddenly someone was there. God put this other person in his way to point him in the right direction. And sometimes we have those encounters too. I live in Chaska, and I live about a 10-minute drive to the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. It's one of my favorite places to go, and I love to see the changes of the season. And on Thursday, I was sitting in my office here, and a friend texted me and said, "The lady slippers are in bloom." And she sent this picture of the lady slippers, and I thought to myself, those are such rare beauties. They bloom for about a week. It's our state flower, and every year I miss it. Every year I hear about it, or maybe I know it's there, and I think to myself, I'll go later. So I thought, I am not missing those lady slippers this year, and I texted my kids. I said, let's go. I'm picking you up after early church, and we'll go see the things, and I go to make the reservation online, and the arboretum closed at 1. Because they had a gala that day. And I thought, well, the next later is tomorrow. So Friday morning I got up, I ran some errands, and I drove out to the arboretum, and my thought was, I have a lot to do, and I like to get things done efficiently. I'm going to park at the closest parking lot. I'm going to run on over there. I'm going to look at those flowers, and then I'm going to get on with my day. So I drive into the arboretum, and I drive to the closest parking lot, and there's this huge tent, and you can't park there, and there's trucks all over, and I have to turn around, and I have to go, and it's super busy, so I have to park way in the back of the parking lot. And so I'm walking along the way, and then I run into somebody that I know, which is my favorite whole thing in the whole world. Hey, what are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. We chat and chat. Then I kind of make my way through the rose garden, and I finally get to the path. I have to go around the tent setter-uppers or ticker-downers, and I finally get on the path to get to the garden where I know the lady slippers are. And all of a sudden, on the path, there's my friend Karen. She texted me the day before, and I said, oh, Karen, I'm here. Thank you for telling me. I'm about to go to the lady slippers. And she says, Chris, there's only about one or two right there in this garden. There's more lady slippers over there. And so Karen becomes my guide. She'd already been there for 2 hours looking at birds and looking at flowers, and she takes me to where the lady slippers are, and this is what I saw. Oh, I wish you could, come ask me about my phone because it's so much prettier. But there they were in all their glory, a huge clump of them. And if I had not run into Karen, if I hadn't been delayed by talking to someone else, if I hadn't been delayed by the parking lot thing and all the slow walking and all the things, I would have missed the opportunity to have this remarkable encounter with a friend that I've known. And I know you're probably like, it's about flowers, Chris, but it's more about this, that it's God's creation and the people that God puts in our lives. Remarkable encounters are happening all of the time. And sometimes you're the one that God prompts and sends, and you get to point. And sometimes it's that God sends someone to you to point you in the right direction. And so the question I'd have you ask today and every day is, what remarkable encounter awaits me today? Would you join me in prayer? Thanks, Lord, for this day, for this story that we read about Philip and this man that he met from so far away. Thank you for the example he had, that he did not hesitate when you prompted, and he went to that place. May it be so, Lord, that each day, that even today, we have a remarkable encounter where we're able to point to you or to care for someone in your name or to see someone that needs just a little nudge of love and care. Or perhaps, Lord, that we encounter somebody today that brings that for us. We thank you that you are always at work in our lives, that there are remarkable things happening all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have this closing song with these guys. And what I'm going to say is this. If you're a member of the church, as soon as this song is over, I'm going to ask you to just sit right back down. Todd's going to come back. We're going to do our quick business meeting. If you're not a member or you're visiting today, you're welcome to slip out. But there are donuts provided by the Wagners in honor of Maggie's baptism. So this is our benediction and our blessing today. Please stand as we sing together.
Yes, please. We invite you to join us for a reception either following the meeting or right after, because you've met my children and I do not need that much sugar. Just